As you have your bulletin, there's a couple of things you can even underline. When we had prayer, it said, hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sin, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. Our disciples were a small group. That's the small flock. We talked about last Sunday, as you look at your priorities, don't have greed in your heart. Make sure that you're open to God, not self. And in this world, it's hard. The disciples, I'm sure, are wondering at the time, how is it going to be that we're going to carry on in a small group, and will we measure up? You ever wonder if you measure up? You look at your life or look at this week and you say, I wonder if I'm really measure up to what God wants. And the encouraging thing from the Word of God was that He is pleased to give you the kingdom. He's pleased with those who follow Him that put the effort. But He says there's something that we ought to be doing. What does He say? Watch. Be ready. Something's going to happen. There was a billboard one time out near the road, and it said, life is short, so how would you finish it? Life is short, so eat more ice cream. That sound pretty good? Life is short, so make sure you visit your friends and family a little more often. Life is short. Anybody? Love more? Do more? Play more? Enjoy music? Go get more education? How would you finish that? Life is short, so then what? Jesus is trying to tell us that we should be living as servants and being ready to serve. And He's talking about serving Him. He's already talked about greed before. Now He talks, as He says, you know, He tells the disciples, sell what you have. And somebody cringed. Oh, no, He's going to tell me to get rid of all my stuff and sell. No, He's telling you there's a different priority in your stuff. And some of you already know it. And that priority is whatever you have, what should it be used for? And who should it be used for? Who? For the Lord. For God. Some of you have talent. We know it. We've seen it. Some He's given you gifts that you didn't have before you were saved. Other you had and He's nurtured. Music, and I've heard you tell me, Daniel, that music, what you do first with your music, it is to honor God. And thank you. I mean, just sitting there, even if you come in early, you get to hear Him play some. As He practices, He may practice stuff for the church or practice other things. It's beautiful. You can just close your eyes and just listen to music. Thank you. And now your family's going to be carrying that legacy on and doing things. And hopefully she will put her music to God first instead of just a career. What is it of you that you own or possess? And is it something you're willing to make sure God has control? When I was younger, I loved cars. I mean, that's what I kind of like when Richard had out there his race. And I said, the only difference is I'm a Firestone guy instead of a Goodyear guy. You know, 15 years of Firestone and getting racing set up for them. But what is it? My car was like, nobody can touch it. When the kids were young, they can't go in my car unless they're going to go in and it's going to be clean. There are no fries in my car. You're going to eat McDonald's or you go in your mother's vehicle. You don't go in mine. Don't touch mine. Don't put your school books on mine. I had to learn in life that what I had all was His. And one day when I was doing ministry in a place not up north of Florida, there was a missionary who needed a vehicle. Their vehicle broke down that they were using. I gave my keys and said, use my car, because it wasn't mine anymore. It was his. I had to learn it. I still learn. It's not what I have. He's given me and trusted me. We talk about stewardship. Whatever you have, you're a steward of. And so he's telling the disciples that, one, the stuff that's here doesn't really matter unless you're going to use it for the work of Christ, because you need to be occupied with something else. You need to be occupied to be ready, because I'm coming again. Remember that song, Daniel? Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, but surely it will be soon. Could be even evening. And so he tells his disciples, what you have, put that aside, use that for the ministry. You need to be getting ready and going. So he gives a little bit of a story. It's not a long one. He said, it's like a servant who has, there's a wedding going on. The master leaves the house, goes to the wedding, and in those days, you never knew when they were coming back. Sometimes it was a seven-day event. So he could end up short, he could end up the 7 days, you didn't know if he was coming in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening. And he said the servants would be ready. Ready enough that when he came back, they would go to the door, open the door, master, welcome home. You have to be really ready then, don't you? If you don't know when. Jesus told his disciples, he's told us, we see the times leaning that way, that he is going to what? Come again. Are you ready? Are you ready? And then he gives a little example. He says, listen, if a thief was coming to your house, and you knew exactly when he was coming, what would you do? Would you stay sleeping? Anybody? No? Some might leave, right? Go somewhere else. He's coming to that house. He can have whatever he wants. I'm out of here. I asked my dad, 92 years old. I asked him yesterday. I said, if the thief was coming, what would you do? He said, I'll get my shotgun out. He'd be ready. And what the Jesus is trying to tell folks is how you're living today. Are you really ready? When you wrote out the answer to, you know, life is short, so what was it? And he's trying to get his disciples to say, look at your priorities in life. Is God first? Now, many here, I would already know, say yes, because I've seen your testimony. You're faithful in coming to church, and we appreciate that. But in your private lives, you have to examine that nearly sometimes every day. The world system teaches the wrong things. Does it teach you that put God first? No, I was taught as a young man to put career first. And so I did. I put a goal. Every certain year, I had to make a certain amount of money. I had to do certain things. And then I would even work for companies, sometimes two companies, and then I would make sure that they're making their money, things are going well, and I sacrificed other things like, oh, can you come to this wedding? No, I've got a conference coming up, I've got to get ready for that, so I got to prepare. I used to be a vice president of human resources and healthcare. And then later on, when they had Bible conference, I was in charge of all the food service to get all of that ready. So those, as you know, as you get ready, there's a lot of things, good things you get ready for, but you gave up a lot of things. And the problem is we can't turn the clock back. I tried to tell some of my workers who are leaders, and I say, if your child has an event, scheduled to go to the event, because that event is not coming back. And it will have more worth on your child to know you're there than you're not there. We have to daily look at our priorities. Now, some of you say, well, I do that, and I don't have any problem. We're good. I'm looking for a Lord to return. But there's an ending to the story. There's a thief. Who is the thief when we look at the Christian life? Satan. And is he creeping in? Has he creeped in without you knowing? Is he going to surprise you when you evaluate the things of your home life, your house, your thoughts, your priorities? How does he do it? Well, he does it with children. Watch out, young man. The devil's alive, and he's going to try to distract you. And when you say, well, how am I going to make sure that my priorities are right? He said, be ready. So how do we get ready? One, and I just want to ask, I think, you know, everybody here has a book at home called the Bible. I'm going to make an offer, and I'm sorry, church, if you don't do it, I'll take care of it. Anybody here not have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, slip your name, address, phone number, something in the back with the offerings, and I'm going to make sure you get a Bible. Do you have a Bible? Today, it's not as common as it used to be. When I was younger, you could go to people's house and you would see what they called a family Bible laying on the coffee table. And they probably don't have coffee tables anymore either, but there was a Bible. Now, sometimes you'll find a Bible on a shelf. You had to dust it off. But how do I make sure my priorities are right? I need to be in the Word of God. And how do I do it? Well, you pick a chapter. You pick the Psalms. You pick Proverbs. There's different ways that you can do it. We can help you as a church. That's our job. But folks, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word instead of be on a TV game. Sorry. You need to be in the Word instead of just watching movies. Doesn't mean these things are bad. But the question is, where's the Bible in your life? Now you can say, well, the Bible tells too big, too many books, too hard for me to understand. The next thing I'm going to say is get a devotional book. Do we still give out the daily breads here? I see a head bobbing. Daily breads are out in the narthex area. Okay, that's how that little area come in. Pick one up. It does maybe a little scripture part, little verses, a nice story, even a prayer. It helps you to have communion with God. Now, some of you got family members. Do you guys communicate with each other? You guys communicate with each other daily? And that's what God wants too. So the test is, are we spending any time every day with God? You got 24 hours in the day. Can you give him half hour? An hour? You can cheat on Sunday because you come here with us. And that's another thing. Your faithfulness coming to church tells us, tells you, your priority is to spend time with fellow believers, not just to hear a sermon. You come to see each other, support each other, encourage each other. What's your prayer request today? Let me take that home with me this week. Yesterday, I was told there was it Rosemarie that's in the hospital to get a pacemaker? So I went to see her yesterday, not doing well. They haven't done it yet, so you don't feel good when you need one and it hasn't been done. And we have a little list on the back of our bulletin, don't we, of different folks to pray for, even your pastor, Leah. So you have opportunity to put things of God first. Because if you don't, the thief is going to sneak in. And he's going to take your time from the precious things of God and replace them with worthless things. The things that don't matter. The things you cannot take with you. The things that will not empower your life. The things that won't protect you from temptation. In your day, do you think of God? Those are the questions to ask. In my priorities, how much is God first? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we first ask that eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If there's somebody who needs a Bible, would you just raise your hand? We'll make sure we have Bibles here. Just raise your hand if you need a Bible. Okay. All right. So if we can, those who are in power, if you can't do it, let me know. We need a few Bibles. The next thing is, as you examine your life, and we pray for you, are you willing to spend more time with God than in the things of the world? Just slip up your hand as an encouragement, and we'll pray for you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you know that your servants want to please you. We thank you that you take us as we are. You want the kingdom to be theirs. Help them spend more time with you. Empower them with the Holy Spirit to do so. And enlighten your word to come to life. In Jesus' precious name, amen.